Welcome to the 3-Point Stance,
your weekly fantasy football podcast
from Lights Out Productions and the website 1320wils.com. I'm your host, Brad.
And I'm his brother, Jason. With us, as always, is our stat man, Hans Rob.
How's it going, everybody? New season, new time to shine, I guess you could say.
Knock the rust off.
Definitely. Very excited this season, though. Today on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to start out with our free agent madness. Had a lot happening this offseason as far as free agents and trades go. We're going to get into all that.
Next, we're going to go into who's your number one. We're going to tell you who our number one pick is and why they are ours and maybe why they should be yours.
Absolutely. And then after that, we're going to go into our top five at each position. This is a consensus pick from the three of us, just to let you know where our top five land in each segment
or each position.
No kickers.
After that, a segment that we like to call Refresh Your Memory. We're going to remind you of some players from last year that maybe you kind of forgot about that might put up some big numbers for you this season.
And then in keeping with that theme, we're going to get into some sleepers from each of us. Actually, a pretty tight end heavy section there with us, our sleepers. We were all big on the tight ends. But to start out, Brad, we're going to talk about some free agent signings. First off, I think the biggest story of the offseason is Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie both heading to Philly and just making that backfield that was already pretty good one of the best in the NFL.
Who saw that coming?
Yeah.
Honestly, I've heard so many other teams, and the Eagles were not one of them for Nnamdi.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it gets announced, and he's going there. And, I mean, the fact that they already have a potent offense mixed with the fact that now they have a lockdown defense...
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Eagles are going to be a good team.
Yeah, they keep calling them the dream team, you know, and I think you got to consider them the NFC favorites this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, them and the Patriots, I can't wait to see that game.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that'll be a good one.
That's going to be a good game right there. So, yeah, I'm excited about that, and I think that, I mean, that definitely boosts the Eagles' defense, which I'm sure we'll get into in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that's got to be one of the biggest free agent signings, and one of the most surprising, too, like I said. No one even... thought the Eagles were in the conversation, and all of a sudden...
Just out of nowhere.
You know,
yeah.
Everyone thought he was going to the Jets, for sure. I know I did. Which, that would have been awesome, too.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
So Nnamdi going to the Eagles. What are some of the other signings we got?
You mentioned the team already. The Patriots got Chad Ochocinco and Albert Haynesworth.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about these guys?
I'm high on Ochocinco. Always have been. I think he's a good player. Haynesworth... not so sure about. He's been out of practice for the last couple days now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very tight-lipped there in New England. Not really saying why. That worries me.
He did pass his physical, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's in the doghouse. You don't get in the doghouse in New England. You get kicked off the team.
It's true.
After
Randy
Moss.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it worries me a little bit, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he can be the player that he was 2 years ago, though... that's going to be a pretty good defense, too.
The thing I've said about Haynesworth is if he's still got it in him, Belichick will get it from him.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, so if it's still there, I think it's going to happen this year. Ochocinco, I'm very high, and I think that is a great landing spot for him there.
Yeah.
I mean, having Tom Brady throw you to you is always a good option.
Yes. And he is also going to live with a fan for the first 2 to 3 weeks of a season, he said.
He'll do anything for publicity. He really will.
He said he'd rather not look for an apartment right now. So the fan must have internet and Xbox are part of the requirements, though, for Ochocinco. So if you're listening to New England, just a thought.
Yeah,
I think that Chad... while he has that big case of "Hey, look at me," I really think he's genuine. He's one of the better celebrities as far as to say "Hey, look at me," but here's what I'm going to do for you. In Cincinnati, he used to buy out extra tickets, donate them just to get them on TV. So, but I mean, it was going to boys and girls clubs,
yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. So
part of it too is why I believe in Chad in New England is because I believe in Belichick.
Yeah,
because Belichick doesn't make bad moves; it just doesn't happen. Like, you know, so. There's got to be logic behind what he's doing, you know. So I think that that's going to be a good fit for him there in New England.
And moving on and sticking with our wide receivers, we also had Braylon Edwards landed in San Francisco, I believe a 1-year deal for $1 million there, I think, was his deal.
Awesome. if you can hold on to the ball, he'd be great.
Yeah, the Jets actually got Santonio Holmes, you know, they kept him on contract, but then they got rid of Braylon Edwards. You know, San Francisco decided to pull the trigger on that one. I don't know if I really buy it, you know, as far as him being a number one receiver.
Here's the thing. I don't like Braylon Edwards for the fact that he can't consistently catch the ball. But given what they need in San Francisco, that they have a good running back, they have a good younger running back. Wide receiver, I'm sorry. But, you know, so I think as far as the teams go, I think he'll be a good fit there as opposed to maybe some of the other teams.
Well, I guess he's a better fit there than some other teams, but yeah, I don't see it as really working out there.
Yeah, I was a little upset at the fact that he basically wanted number one wide receiver money when mm-hmm. you haven't proven on a consistent basis anywhere besides maybe Cleveland, which you even suck there, that you should get number one or be considered number one wide receiver in places. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess if there was a team for that though, San Francisco would be the type. They struggle there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So you know, we'll see how it works out. I guess.
It's probably an upgrade for them at the position. I just don't know if I quite buy it. Moving on to Seattle, actually got a couple good free agent signings there. They got Zach Miller from Oakland, and then they also got Tavares Jackson from Minnesota.
Yeah.
So how do you see that tandem working out?
I was confused with the whole Zach Miller move. That, I mean, he is an upgrade, but they had Carlson there, who to me was a serviceable tight end mm-hmm. and put up pretty good numbers. But, you know, you can't deny if it's there, you know, and you got the extra cap room for it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it was an area of need for him, but yeah. I do think it's an upgrade at the position.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, he was, you know, arguably top, you know, five tight ends last year, you mm-hmm. know, and looks to be the same again. And with Tavares being there, he's kind of more of a check down scrambling quarterback anyway. So, you know, you might kind of see an uptick for both those, mm-hmm. You know, Miller and Jackson in that type of offense, you know.
And then also Seattle did get Sidney Rice, so they will have a deep threat. Yeah. I don't know if Jackson really has the arm to make use of it, but he will be there anyway. Yeah. So
it might just be way downfield.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a track runner.
Just standing in the end zone, waving his arms. I'm open. moving on, we did have a lot of quarterback turnover in the offseason. Donovan McNabb gets signed by Minnesota.
Yes.
Matt Hasselbeck gets signed by Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Cobb gets signed by Arizona. And Vince Young gets signed as the backup in Philly. So out of the three that are going to be starting anyway, Donovan, Hasselbeck, and Cobb, who do you like the best out of those three in their new landing spot?
Cobb, hands down.
I kind of agree. Once you have Larry Fitzgerald to throw to, you're going to be pretty happy.
And that kind of prolific offense that basically almost any quarterback that can throw the ball can do pretty good in it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I think he's going to do real good this year. I'm pretty high on him.
Yeah, I think Kevin Cobb, out of those three anyway, is going to do the best. Donovan... You know, in Minnesota, I just don't think with them getting rid of Sidney Rice, I just don't think they have many options for him to work with.
Percy Harvin, that's about it.
Yeah,
you know, and you got swing passes to Peterson, and you know, 5-6 yard ones to Percy Harvin.
Yeah, that's if Harvin can stay healthy. So you know,
and that's the thing. You know, McNabb can't scramble out of the pocket like he used to.
No,
and you saw that last year. You know, with the Redskins. So. We'll see, but I'm not taking him as my number two.
Yeah,
you know, probably not even number three.
And Matt Hasselbeck has always been sort of a middle of the road guy. He's good. He's just not great, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah. I think he'll get the job done.
Yeah,
you know,
he's definitely better than Kerry Collins.
Yeah, he's got Chris Johnson coming out of the backfield for some swing passes.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Britt, who should be pretty good this season.
Yeah,
downfield. So I think we'll see an uptick for him. Not huge, you know. Maybe number two, though. I could see that.
Again, it's if he stays healthy. He's had you know, a lot of back issues and stuff like that. Yeah. So I think he's in line for a decent season, though. Yeah. Moving on to our next segment here on the 3-Point Stance, we're going to get into our number one picks. You know, this is the big question heading into your fantasy draft. Who do I take number one? Brad, why don't you kick us off? Who's your number one pick?
I'm going to go with Michael Vick, which can't believe I'm taking someone that's not a running back. But if you look at the season he had, the numbers he put up, and the fact that he wasn't even a starter all season long, I mean, I think the only thing that's going to hold him back from being number one is injuries, which supposedly he's still supposed to be learning to slide more. We'll see if that happens, but you get the rushing yards on top of the passing yards, and overall, what's the most important thing in fantasy football?
Touchdowns.
He has the weapons. He has the legs. I think you got to go with Michael Vick, number one. That's where I'm going.
He's definitely a prolific passer, going to be a great scorer this year. Honest Rob, who do you got at your number one pick?
I'm going to go with Adrian Peterson. He's kind of been the perennial number one pick mm-hmm. for the past few years. I just think it's hard to turn away from just this more of like a standard kind of fantasy formula, I guess.
Running back right up front.
Exactly.
And consistent.
This guy's had 283 rushes last year. I put him over 300 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, with that many rushes, even though Minnesota is going to be struggling in the NFC North against a really tough competition, he's going to move the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to get touchdowns. He's going to go across that goal line.
Absolutely.
So.
Always does.
Both of those great options. I think my number one pick for this year is going to be Arian Foster, though. Put up some huge numbers last year. Honest Rob, you got a fantasy points scoring there for Arian Foster
yes.
last year?
Foster had 313 points, carried the ball 326 times, and caught the ball 66 times.
Those are some great numbers. He is going to put up similar numbers this year, and you know, nothing has really changed for him there in Houston. He's going to put up similar numbers, he's going to have similar production, and he is going to be the number one scoring fantasy running back. I'm taking him with my number one pick.
Okay, I'm getting a little mad here because both y'all were taking stats. Can we get some stats on this, Rob, for my boy Michael Vick then?
Of course. Vick had was 233 for 372 with a total of 3,018 yards passing with 21 touchdowns, only 6 passing interceptions. Mm-hmm. He rushed 100 times for 676 yards and another 9 rushing touchdowns.
Preach!
And not Preach. Even a full season.
No. He didn't start, and he also went out with an injury. So, yeah, I mean, all of these picks for number one, I mean, I think they're all viable options.
Oh, definitely.
You got to figure out what works for your team, though, mm-hmm. you know? So,
one other honorable mention I think we should bring up here in the conversation, he's not, you know, any of our specific number one pick, but I think you can throw him in the discussion also, is Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
You know, if you believe that Michael Vick is just too injury prone and you really want your quarterback number one, I think Aaron Rodgers is a good way to
go.
Well,
I think, though, if that's the case, though, you can throw Brady in there as well. I mean, that arguably... I mean, I don't know. Those are getting into a whole nother thing of other players you can mention, but I would say that to me, I might even take Brady over Rodgers if I was drafting, if they were both on the board. I don't know. I'm a Brady believer, though.
I like Brady, but not more than Rodgers.
I don't know. I mean, you can't knock what Rodgers did, though, at all. And that's the fact. A lot of people are actually sleeping on the Green Bay Packers. The fact that they didn't lose anything from last year to this year, they actually gained.
Yeah, they're going to gain because they had a lot of guys on IR last year.
To kind of go on that argument, I'm going to give you two numbers, 32 and 37. Those are total touchdowns for Brady and Rodgers. Do you guys know which one had which?
No.
Brady 37, Rodgers 32.
Ooh.
Look at interceptions.
You're absolutely right. Rodgers throws 11 interceptions and Brady only throws 4. So 37 and 4 or 32 and 11.
Preach.
So 8.
Preach.
Well, no, 37 and 11 and 32 and 4.
Ah,
right?
32 and 11.
Oh, no, yeah, you said.
Yeah.
Yep.
So wow. Something to keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely. Moving on here on the three-point stance, we're going to get to our top 5 picks at each section for your fantasy football team.
And I hope you guys appreciate this because, man, it got heated.
It got very dicey.
Yeah.
We had to come to a consensus here on our top 5. So obviously we're going to start out at quarterback here. Number one, Michael Vick. Got to do Michael Vick number one. That was the consensus, definitely. Number two, Aaron Rodgers.
This one got a little dicey, but I think most people, I even rode with Aaron Rodgers at number 2.
You did. Came along with that one. Number 3, we got Tom Brady.
I don't think you can argue that.
No.
I don't think you can. The only thing you can maybe argue is that he'd be number 2 instead of number 3, but you got to have him right there.
Number 4, we got Drew Brees having a little bit of a bounce back year, we feel, coming back to number 4.
Yes. Yeah.
And then number 5, we put in Peyton Manning. The neck injury scares us a little bit, but he's still Peyton Manning.
That's true.
You guys know I'm a big value-based drafting guy, mm-hmm. and normally with value-based drafting, you just kind of go tier 1, tier 2, so on and so forth. As far as the top 5 quarterbacks, generally you'd think they'd all be in tier 1. Mm-hmm. To me, I've actually got these guys maybe like a tier 1.5. I've got Vic, Rodgers, Brady, tier 1. Breeze and Manning, tier 1.5. Oh. Some food for thought.
I could see that. We do have them ranked at 4 and 5, so I could see that. Yeah.
I mean, those are kind of players that I don't think you're going to take if you get the number 1 draft pick if you're a quarterback first type drafter. There are those out there.
Those are possible second rounders, depending on how many teams are in the league.
Yeah.
Possible.
Oh, yeah. How deep your league is, definitely. Yeah.
Moving on to our running back top 5, number 1, and this one did
this
get
rough.
This one got rather heated, the discussion here. Number 1, we do have Adrian Peterson.
For consistency's sake.
Number 2, we came together on Arian Foster. Come on, Brad.
No. Not going to say it. I'm down on Foster. I don't think he's going to have as good of a year this year. I think he's going to have a good year. I still think he's going to be top 5. I don't have him as number 2, though. But you guys did, so that's okay. We'll roll with
number 2 is the three-point stances official pick. Number 3, we got Jamal Charles. Again, Brad doesn't necessarily agree.
I believe in Jamal Charles' talent. I just don't like the way Kansas City has used him in the past. And I think if they actually use him right, then I am fine with where he is.
I think they will.
It's a coaching thing.
And I think they will.
In Belichick, I don't really believe in Haley right now.
I think they'll use him correctly, and I think he's going to be a great scoring option this year. Number four, we came on Chris Johnson. That's a little lower than traditional projections for him, but me and Honest Rob both feel that he's going to have a little bit of a down year. Brad's a little higher on him. But
I think he's going to do good.
Yeah, I think he's still going to be top five. You know, number four I think is a good landing spot for him. And then number five, Ray Rice.
A lot of debate on that.
A lot of debate on number five.
We'll leave it at that. It's only a half-hour show.
So we're going to move on to our wide receivers, our top five. Number one.
This one a little bit easier.
This one was very easy. Yeah. Number one was Andre Johnson.
There's really no conversation
about that at all.
Guy's a monster.
Number two was Roddy White. Again, not much you can say about that. Yeah. Had a great season. Going to have another one.
Yep.
Number three came down to a little bit of a debate. We came down on Calvin Johnson, which I think is a good pick. I think he's put on a little muscle,
and that's always good.
Yeah,
which always comes down with Calvin Johnson's value. This is the downside, is that it really is dependent on Stafford.
Yeah.
Can Stafford stay healthy? If he can, Megatron's going to have a monster year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just there's no way around it. And the fact that they have some rookies to kind of take the pressure off him, and a step up in tight end with Pettigrew, which I think we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be other people that they can't just put all their attention on him on the Lions offense this season.
Yeah, so I think that frees him up a little bit. At number four, we have Greg Jennings.
Consistency.
Consistency. Aaron Rodgers throwing to him. I mean, you just can't go wrong with a guy like that.
Nope.
And at number five, we put DeSean Jackson. Came to camp a little late, but is just such a stellar talent, especially if you get something like return yardage in your league.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a touchdown machine.
Yeah, I mean, there's some problems with him as far as a receiver, being a little bit smaller and not as sure-handed as some other people, but you can't deny what the guy can do after he gets his hands on the ball. I mean, most yards after the catch in the league by far last season. I mean, the guy's just, when he gets his hands on the ball, it's just magic at any point in time.
It's a show anytime he gets his hands on the ball. Moving on to our tight end top five, we got Antonio Gates number one. If anyone tells you differently, slap them.
Stab them.
Slap them.
Aye.
Number two is Dallas Clark. Going to be back in the lineup. Peyton throwing to him. Should have a great year. Number three, we got Jason Witten.
Yeah. With Tony Romo being back, going to help him out a lot. I know he kind of took a little bit of a dive last year, but Tony Romo was out, that whole offense suffered.
Definitely. Tony Romo's going to be back. Witten should have a good season. At number four, we got Vernon Davis.
Consistency.
Yeah. As bad as Alex Smith really is in San Francisco,
he's all I got.
He does get the ball to Vernon Davis, you know?
That's true.
That's the one thing you can say about him.
And Vernon Davis is a big guy, but he's more speedy, I think, than people realize. If he gets ahead of you, it's really hard to catch him, you know?
And at number five for our tight ends, we have JaMychal Finley.
A little bit of a debate there.
A little
but
bit.
There's not much that's better than him that you can consistently say is better than him. Didn't get to show a whole lot last season because of the injury.
Yeah.
But if he comes back and he's, you know, looks the same as he did last year, he's going to put up big numbers.
Yeah, in those games he was in, he was rather good. It's just, you know, got injured and had to take a back seat. So
right.
We'll see if he can stay in the whole season. Moving on to our top five defenses. Number one, we have the New York Jets.
They're just always good.
Always good. Always good.
Just put it out there.
Number two is Pittsburgh again. Just a perennial powerhouse.
Yeah.
Just always good on defense. Number three jumping up this year, I think, is Philadelphia.
With the new acquisitions, you have to put them in.
Their
top
backfield
five.
Is probably the best in the NFL now, and they also added a couple defensive ends that are going to be stellar for them. I think they're going to have a much improved defense this year. Number four, Green Bay Packers. A little step down for them in terms of their production last year, but you know, with all these other teams doing good things on defense, I think that's probably about right for the Packers.
Yeah, and I think that the thing is, the Packers are a little bit different running the 3-4. Most defenses aren't running that, so it's a little bit of a different look, but it works for them.
Definitely.
The personnel they have.
And one thing I heard today, actually, Clay Matthews played the second half of last season with a stress fracture in his leg.
That's ridiculous.
Dude had 13 and a half sacks with a stress fracture half the season.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Wow.
Yeah.
They're going to be good.
They're going to be real good. At number five, this is sort of a surprise for us. Maybe a little hometown pick here, but we did pick the Detroit Lions at number five. We think they're going to be much improved on defense.
Let me explain the logic behind this. You know, I want to see Detroit do good offense and defense, but the thing is, they took with their first pick a defensive lineman, which they don't need because their defensive line was already good, and I think it really pushed them to being elite. And their linebacking core is not that great. Their backfield, the secondary, is decent. But the fact of the matter is you don't need to have an all-star backfield if the quarterback can't get set because he's getting sacked or he's getting chased in the backfield.
It's very true.
So, yeah, I mean, with Delmas back there, too, I mean, I'm really excited to see what Detroit's going to do. And they have a defensive-minded head coach. That's why he was hired.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see what Detroit's going to do this year.
It'll be interesting. I'm not entirely sold on them being top five. I think they'll be much improved from last year, though.
Definitely top ten, yeah. I think. Yeah. But. Yeah.
So they'll be up there. Another section we're going to talk about on our top fives is rookies. Mm-hmm. So we're going to list our top five rookies. Number one, and this is not necessarily in terms of a best player perspective, but in terms of who's going to put up the most fantasy points, mm-hmm. we got Cam Newton number one.
And that's just because he's the starter. I mean,
starting quarterback is going to get you points.
Exactly. You know, it might not be great points. There's going to be a lot of turnovers in there, just as Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
But you have the chance for him to put up good numbers. So you got to roll with Cam Newton.
Absolutely. Number two, we got Mark Ingram.
Running back down there in the kind of carousel that is New Orleans backfield.
Yep.
He's good. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, mm-hmm. you know. So he's going to do good, hands down.
He's going to be sitting behind Pierre Thomas a little bit, but they do tend to rotate running backs a lot yeah. down there. So he'll get plenty of work.
Yeah, and he's the type that if he makes, you know, if he can break one tackle, you're not going to catch him.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, something to think about, too, with Ingram, you know, we're talking about the carousel. Flashback 3 years ago. Who's still there? Who was in the running back carousel?
Reggie Bush was there. Who was not there anymore.
Yeah. I had no idea.
You see? If yeah. Ingram breaks out, he could easily
move to the top of the
carousel. Did they have
Deuce McAllister then still?
Maybe was but that's, Bell?
But that's exactly what I'm saying. If yeah. Ingram yeah. plays well, he could be moved to that carousel, or you know, he might be looking to play well to get out of there.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure. You know?
At number three on our rookie list, we have A.J. Green, going to be the number one wide receiver, it looks like, in Cincinnati there. So.
And the thing is that they were saying that out of the draft, he looked like the most polished receiver. They said that he was the guy that could come in and be a number one wide receiver almost anywhere that he went.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with praise like that from the experts, you have to look at someone like that heavily.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to have a great quarterback throwing to him there. Could be Gretkowski, could be Dalton. You know, it's yeah. a little bit up in the air. But, you know, either way, he's going to be the number one receiver on a team, and they're going to pass some.
Yep.
So,
definitely.
You know, got him there. Number four, we got Daniel Thomas, running back from Miami, mm-hmm. Is listed as the starter on their depth chart. So he's going to get a bunch of carries.
Once again, if you're a starter, you're going to get points.
Yeah,
I don't think he's points, yeah. you're going to get points.
I don't think he's a number one running back for your fantasy team, but in terms of, you know, putting up points,
maybe?
Yeah, he's going to get some. So, and number five, we actually have Andy Dalton.
This was a change.
Yes.
Late change. We just got late breaking news that he has been named the starter, at least for the preseason game
yes.
so far in Cincinnati. And if you've seen Dalton, you know he can bomb it downfield. So really could be a tick up in Green's, you know, pick selection. Also Dalton, depending on you got to watch the preseason. I'm sorry. If you really want to have a good fantasy season,
mm-hmm.
you have to watch the preseason, which is starting tomorrow. Just saying. but yeah, so I really want to see how that goes. I'm high on Dalton. I think he's really good. So if he gets the starting position, I would think he'd be a good number two for you.
I think that's a pretty good spot to have him, as long as he gets that starting job. And yeah. it looks like he's going to have a chance to earn it here in the preseason. So that's good for him.
Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Segment 1. Check us out in Segment 2. We're going to go through, refresh your memory. We're going to talk about some fantasy players that did good last year. You might kind of forgot about this year that you might want to get in your lineup. And also, we're going to go through some sleepers. Always got to have some good sleepers to do good in your fantasy league. At least that's the way ours run. So make sure you check us out in Segment 2.